Hello and welcome to a Teller's Tales podcast. This is Chris's Corner. I'm your host, Chris Taylor, and welcome back to a brand new episode. This week, I'm going to be talking about how I completed the London Marathon in 3 hours and 23 minutes. Probably one of the biggest feats, accomplishments in my entire life. It was one of the best days of my life, and I think it will be remembered throughout until I die as one of those moments where everything came together. Everything, all of the year, like 9 years of running, 6 years of weightlifting, everything to get to this point, to get to this one race where you do something that is insane in comparison to who you used to be. It is the accomplishment that reminds me how much I've changed as a person, how much I have killed the previous person I was, how the image of who I used to be is so far gone. People who used to know me no longer know me because there's not even a comparison. Because when I was younger, I used to suffer with asthma, and it would affect me playing football in terms of not being able to push myself. And I think it was more of a mental game. I think I had the capability from day one. I just wasn't pushing myself hard enough. There was a limitation that I placed on myself. There was a limitation that was placed on my mind that I would say stopped me from being able to push forward, that stopped me from taking on these brilliant moments of pushing past the pain barrier. And there was definitely a pain barrier in the London Marathon, I tell you that. When your knees start to give, and I don't mean give as in I'm going to buckle or anything along those lines, but when you can feel the pain of 25 miles already gone and you've got a mile and a bit to go and you know that those knees are just, oh, you're just feeling it. Yeah, every step you take, you feel that in your hips, in your whole body. There's no feeling that can really, you know, compare to. Like, don't get me wrong, I've lifted weights for 3 hours, for instance. Running and lifting weights is a completely different ball game. I think lifting weights is far easier, in my opinion. You get breaks. The amount of people I see at the gym, yappa, 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 yappa.
Yeah, Shanice.
Yeah?
Your mouth is moving a lot like a rat. Yappa, 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 yappa. Shut it, please.
You know, like the amount of people I see talking at gyms, like I will have done 4 fucking exercises by the time somebody's conversation is finished. You know, I always make the joke of, Janice, your mouth is moving like a rat. Yappa, 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 yappa to them, because I'm just like,
yappa, 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 yappa.
Guys, seriously, come on, get on with it. Fucking, like, this is the difference. Like, when you see runners, it's consistent. It is pushing themselves. You are consistently doing exercise. There is no stopping. There is no stopping. You do not stop. It is continuous. Now, I say it like this because I'm talking about the runners who are running the entire time, not run walking or, you know, going at such a slow pace that it might as well be walking. And we're talking 12-minute mile pace there. Or, you know, that might as well be walking. Now, I'm not putting other runners down. I'm just saying, like, there's a level. Everyone's got a level.
What's your power level?
And stop asking that! No one cares anymore!
Mine's pretty big.
I was looking at my running paces from 2018 all the way to now. I don't have, you know what's sad is I don't have records of 2015, 2016. I have 2017, I don't have 2015 and 16, which is the first 2 years of me running. But I bet you now it was like 11 minute miles. I bet you it was like 12 minute miles. I bet it was really, really fucking slow when I first started, when I was like, God, must have been 19. Yeah, 19 years old, which is crazy saying as I'm now 28 years old. But you know, I'm talking all about this because it's almost like a prerequisite or a prelude to the London Marathon. All of this stuff had to occur. All of that pain, all of that suffering had to occur before doing it. Which is why I have a little bit of a problem when it comes down to people saying, "Ah, yeah, I'm doing my first marathon, it's the London Marathon." I'm like, have you fucking earned it? Have you earned that title? If not, have you put the work in? Have you put the time in? And I'm talking about years. I'm not talking about minutes. I'm not talking about hours. I'm not talking about months. Motherfucker, I'm talking about 9 years. 9 years.
I did my waiting. 12 years of it. In Azkaban.
I put the work in for that shit. 9 years. Motherfucker, I don't think people know what it takes to get to that level, because I'm running it at 90 kilograms. I'm running it at probably, in my age bracket and at my level, I'm probably 10 kilograms or more heavier than the majority of runners. And probably if other people were, if I was going to give them my bench press, they would probably snap their arms. Me and my dad were joking about this afterwards. Like, if you were to compare me and my dad to the other runners, like, the size of us compared to them is just hilarious, because it is a usage of both sides of the body. You know, if you look at Kipchoge, for instance, look at his arms, look at his legs, they're sticks. Like, there's a reason why he's able to run a 159. Like, he's a mental monster. Running is mainly that mentality of grind, 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 and being just self-disciplined and knowing you can consistently do it over and over again. Now, the London Marathon for me this year, I think I could have ran it faster. And here's why. Having to go to the toilet twice in that race slowed me the fuck down, and it kills me. I'm emotional about it, not being reasonable about it, because obviously we all have to go to the loo, but it hurts me, because I was fucking beating, like, for 13 to 14 miles of that race, I was way ahead of the 3:20 marker. And I was even beyond the 3:15 marker guy. It wasn't until mile fucking 16 that the 3:15 mile guy, I should preface this, the 3:15 mile guy, when I refer to that, it's the person who's pacing for that mile time. So 3 hours and 15 minutes, there's a pacer for each every 5 minute interval up until 3 hours and 30 for the yellow section. And I was like so far ahead for that. I'd created such a buffer that it hurt me that I'd gone down to below that 3:20 marker. When I saw, the 3:15 marker guy go past, and then the 3:20, and I was keeping up with the 3:20 for such a long time. I think it was all the way up until mile 15, or it must have been mile 17. I'd lost it a little bit. And my mile time, like, actually, let's do something really interesting here. Let's get up the old splits. Splitteroonie.
Rooney!
Let's get those splits up, because it will be interesting to really have a look. I'll put them up on screen as well, because that's always interesting to actually physically see something. Or if you're just listening to the podcast, don't worry, I'll read them out, because it will give you a really good idea of just the difference between the beginning of the race and the end of the race. Now, I deliberately created a buffer because I knew I was going to have to go to the loo. I knew I was, because it happened to me at Brighton. I just didn't know when it was going to happen. So I had to go for a number two at mile 11. And then I had to go again at mile 15, which is just really, really annoying. But at the same time, I'm really glad it happened at those miles rather than at mile 21 later in the race, when your legs are slowing to give out. And that if you stop running at that period of time, it is very difficult to get started again. You can physically see it in people's faces. So let's get this up. Splits. Here we go. I do like a good old. So, like, yeah, mile one all the way up until mile 11, when I had to go to the loo, I was running a sub 7:30. Only the first mile is above 7:30, and that's 7:36. Now, granted, the overall average for the end of the race was 7:45, which is fantastic. It's still brilliant. It's still a PR for me. It's still personal best. You know, it's amazing, you know, 3 hours and 23 minutes, because up until all of my training was actually getting, you know, going for 322, you know, 322. And 322 was just, I just put that as a personal record just so that I was 5 minutes faster than Brighton. So I'd given myself quite a big leap, you know, 5 whole minutes is quite a big, and I still did it, you know, four whole minutes is still crazy, you know, it's nuts to think. But, you know, after miles, fit, you know, we're looking at mile 12, 7:30, mile 13, 7:44, 7:27 for mile 14, 7:42 for mile 15, 7:36 for mile 16, 7:20 for mile 17, and then 18, 8:04. And then it just gets to, you know what? I'm looking at these mile splits, and it's not that bad. It's not until mile 22, 7:57, 7:42 for 23, 7:48 for 24, 7:39 for mile 25, and 8:05 for 26. You know what? Something's not right here. Let me look. So that's Runkeeper. I'm going to look at the splits for Strava, because, like, Strava is everybody's best friend at the moment, which I find kind of hilarious. The amount of people posting on Strava is, I mean, it's amazing. It's incredible to see the amount of people running nowadays. It's in comparison to what it was like when I first started in 2015. God, making myself sound like an old man. Back in my day, there weren't many runners, you know. Oh dear, it has become a thing though, hasn't it? Like, running's become sexy almost at the moment, so it's there's always going to be, you know, those sort of trends, let's put it that way. So let's get on to, so seven, see, yeah, here's the thing as well, Strava gave my, what was it, distance, yeah, moving time is 3 hours and 20 minutes and 43 seconds. So clearly that's talking about when I'm not going to the loo, I'm running at a 7:38 pace throughout it. Again, fucking incredible splits no matter what happens there. So let's have a look what Strava says. Yeah, this is the insane thing, right? Is at mile 19, I ran a 6:54. Which is fucking crazy. You think you're 19 miles into a race and you run a 6:54. So okay. So this makes more sense on Strava. Strava shows my decline that I can feel. So mile 20, 8:20. That makes sense. Mile 21, 8:05. Makes sense. Mile 22, 7:46. I'm getting a little bit faster. Mile 23, getting a little bit tired at 7:58. Mile 24, 8:09, mile 25, 8:20, and then mile 26, 8:21. That makes sense, because that's what it felt like. Those splits make sense at the end there. Getting a little bit slower, but in still, you know, the comparison between the beginning miles, where it's like 7:40, 7:26, 7:07, 7:13, 7:31, 7:23, 7:26. It's just like, it's all the way up until mile 15, which makes sense because I had to go to the loo, and then again, it's not until mile 20 that I start to slow down, and even then I still have 2 miles between 22 and 23 where I regain myself a little bit, and I'm like back in that Goggins mode where it's like, who's gonna carry the boats and the logs?
Who's gonna carry the boats and the logs?
That's you, buddy. Come on, 23. Come on, 24! One more, David!
Who's
one more
to carry the boats?
You're gonna do it. You're gonna do it. You're gonna do it. You did it. Yeah!
Who's gonna carry the fucking boats?
Which is fucking, you know, it's, I haven't really reflected on this, by the way, guys. For the people who are listening, if you're in at this point, I'm sorry I've just rambled there for like a good 15 minutes, because I haven't really recollected my emotions or my thoughts on the London Marathon. I haven't really reflected on it because I was so in the moment. I was so in it, you know, where you're just so focused. You're so, I think the photo of me on screen, or what's the cover of this podcast, does reflect the mentality of what I go into running with. Everyone sees the happy-go-lucky guy. But the reality is, it's like, in order to be that happy, you have to have a dark side. I'm sorry, I don't care who you are. Like, we all have a coin that we are one side or the other. And I have to be this focused mental monster when it comes down to running and weightlifting. It's very difficult to switch between the two. It sounds kind of psychopathic a little bit in terms of me going from this really nice guy to, you know, kind of two-faced as well. But it is this switch that clicks in my mind where it's like, okay, this is it. Time to get fucking savage. Time to eat everybody's fucking soul around me. And the one thing that did annoy me in comparison between Brighton and London is in Brighton, they will give the people's, the line of people will be ordered in terms of the time they're going for. So you're not going to have 9-minute milers incorporated into the run of people who are going for a sub 7, you know? But with London, there's a point in the race where it merges, where people who are running slower merge in with people who are running faster. And it really annoyed me because had there not been so many people around me in terms of running, and this is excuses, I know, you shouldn't make excuses, but it did annoy me nonetheless. Like, it is frustrating when you're trying to get in front and people are just slowing down. You're like, for fuck's sake, get out of my way. You're like, ah.
Hey, you, my life's like a movie, my eyes are like a Uzi jacuzzi.
And you can't say that because I'm not a rude person. I'm not going to be like trying to ruin someone else's London marathon because I'm like, I've got a good time to get and you're fucking slowing me down, motherfucker. It's like, ah. But at the same time, I understand that there's 50,000 people trying to do this race and you can't do that. But I have seen the New York Marathon, and New York Marathon seems to organize it the same way the Brighton one does. So I don't understand why London, you know, organizes these yellow and red and blue and green routes, right? And why are they merging them? Because we start 10 minutes later than everyone else. So I started at 10 past 10, right? So people will have started at 10 o'clock majority of the time, or vice versa, you know, 20 past 10, whatever it is. And it's just, I don't understand. I get it, but I don't get it. It's really annoying. But on the positive side, the atmosphere. Seriously, people, like, for you, the listener, you know, you're listening to some random guy talking about all of this, but to really incorporate, to really get across to you the level of noise that was going off in the background while I'm running. I'll put it this, I couldn't hear my music in my headphones because of the amount of shouting and, you know, of the applause, the support, the amazing people going on. You know, this just, London comes alive. It is probably one of the best days in anyone's life to be in London that day. It really is. Everybody's talking, everyone's chatting, everyone's having a great time. I love just being an observer almost. It was so nice for me getting the train in the morning to Greenwich Park and just observing all of these all these runners conversing and just being in there and just watching. I'm trying to get in the zone, trying to be quiet, just trying to focus in, not listening to music because you know you're going to be listening to music for 3.5 hours. So just being in that moment, listening in, and it's just so nice. The hubbub and the beautiful feeling of going in and watching that, and then you have to get in the zone and you're just like in your mind. And yeah, just, I think all of that time where I run alone in comparison to what it's like when you're in that marathon is insane, because I'm so used to countryside, quiet runs, like nothing's going on in the background, just me and my music, or me saying to myself, you don't know me, son, who's going to carry the boats? It's just like,
dude, who's going to carry the boats in the logs?
That's you, buddy.
And when it's so noisy around you, it is kind of, wow, overwhelming a little bit. Thankfully, it didn't affect my pace, it didn't affect how I was doing things. I didn't allow it to distract me in any way, shape, or form. I just knew I had a mission I knew I had what a time to do, and I knew what was going to interest me. So, for instance, when I was slowing down later in the race, I prepared for that so that I could kind of enjoy those last few miles. Because when you're running at what I was running, what is it, an average of between an 8:09 and 8:21 pace for the last 3 miles, I was enjoying every minute of that. Because there was the London Eye, there was Big Ben, there was the Buckingham Palace, there was just this beautiful side of London. It was a beautiful day as well. No rain, beautiful crystal skies. Yes, it was a little bit cool, but it was perfect for running. And you get to be there in that moment. You're the runner, you know? I'd raised £2,000 for a charity to be there, you know? You get that, and you're like, I'm here, and now. And then your family are there. You know, I get to mile 25, my parents and my aunts and uncles and my godparents and my sister are all there celebrating this moment with me in that last mile, and you get to see them for like 10 seconds and then you run off and finish the race. And it's hard to quantify, you know, to be able to say to somebody, go do it. Because for me personally, the reason why it was so amazing is because of the 9 years put in, because of all that training. The training was far harder than the marathon itself. How I train is so much harder than training in London. Like the routes I've taken, where my parents live, or in Newbury, or in Berkshire in general, running hills made it that when I went and ran the flats of London, or when I've ran the flats of Brighton, or when I've ran the flats of New York, wherever it is, it is so easy in comparison to my training. And that's how it should be. Training should be harder than the reality of the race. You should be training far harder than you should be in the actual race itself. Because when you run the race itself, it should be like, right, all of that training has come together, and you're like, boom, this is just mission. This is just another day in the office. That's how it should be. Train, 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 train until you get to the point. And I've realized, definitely, you know, a part of me as well has realized that this was an accumulation of all of the hard work over time. All of that hard work, mile by mile, had got to that point. So London, with, you know, I'm going to give a few tips as well if you want to run a marathon. Number one, stop listening to all of those fucking social media people. Just run. Don't fucking screw tempo runs, screw long runs, screw fucking what's the other word, interval training, fuck all of that. Fuck it, seriously, don't listen to them. Just run. Start running. People love to overcomplex and make them sound cooler by saying hybrid training and interval training, long runs. Shut the fuck up. Run. Just run. And get into the consistency of running. Do you know who gave me, do you know who inspired me to run? It was Casey Neistat. Do you know how many times he said to me, you know, or to any of his YouTube followers when he was first talking about running, he didn't tell you about specifics, he just said, go run. There was no training. Goggins as well. Do you think he tells you about, no, he just, run. Don't overcomplicate it. It is really simple. Just get out the front door. Once you've got to, you know, a certain point in your running gear, let's say you've been running 5+ years of running, then you can start thinking about interval running, tempo running, and long runs. Then you can start thinking, once you get that fast. But most of this stuff that I see online at the moment is people who have been given advice from people who are actually runners and then diluting the information down. First step to anything is to do 9 years of it. 9 years grinding. And I'm going to do another fucking, you know, I'll be an old man. I will be 75 with fucking no knees, no cartilage, fucking still going. Because that's what it's about. It's the mentality you build from being able to do these things, from doing something hard. And the reason why I say this with the ferocity that I say it with is because I love it so much. And here's another friggin' crazy thing that I'll say to you as well. I only run 3 times a week. That's right. I know. crazy, right? Most people think that you should be running like 5 times, or that some people are running every day. I run faster than most people who train every day. And if you don't believe me, look at the statistics. Look at my run time, 3 hours, 23 minutes. That is easily top 5%. And that doesn't even take into account my like literal weight and my muscle mass that comes with it, which also takes into account, plus, you know, the my bench press and my ability to train like a crazy man when it comes down to the weights. Nobody takes that into account, you know? So this is another thing as well, is that balance is a good thing, and knowing when to overtrain is another thing. I remember when I was younger, I used to think, oh man, I've got to be putting in 40 mile runs, you know, in a week, every week. It's not true. The most amount of mileage I did before the London Marathon was 30 miles. That was at the peak end of it. And I think the fastest I ran during that training period, I'm pretty certain the fastest I ran during my training period was like a 7:40, maybe a 7:38, something along those lines, maybe. For the longest run I did, so if we look at my 18.45 miler, I was running like an 8:09 pace. Now, granted, I was at an elevation of 1,931 feet. Yes, I know, a lot. This is, again, reiterating what I said at the beginning of the podcast, where running on like hills and at elevation is going to make you way faster than people who just run flats. It's also going to mean that your heart rate is going to level out. Like, I think my heart rate for the majority of the London Marathon was at a 160. Might be a little bit higher. Let's have a look. 161 maybe? Yeah, 161, which I'm really pleased with, by the way. Because I could have easily let my heart rate go all over the place. The max it got to was 177. And I think that wasn't even at the end of the race. The end of the race, my heart rate went all the way down to like a 145. Which is, again, that's like easy cruising time. I think it was when I was really pushing myself at the beginning of the race, and then it started to steady out because of all of the adrenaline had left my body. So again, don't let the event get to you. And the reason why I'd done that 13 mile period, even, you know, you could even class it as 15 miles up until the point of having to go to the loo, where I'd created that buffer, is because I knew at some point, every run will tell you this, is you're going to hit the mental wall. And that mental wall is going to make it a hell of a lot harder to be able to keep at the pace you're going. You know, I was thinking to myself as I watched the 7:20 and the 7:15 pacer pass me, I was like, oh no, fuck. I was doing, and I could have let it just destroy me. I could have just let it, you know, tear me from the insides, and I could have stopped and given up or anything like this, but I kept going. And it is just the, I'm going to grind it out. I'm going to get it done no matter what. And can you see yourself pleased with whatever you're going to get done? You know what the irony is I thought I was going to, at that point, I thought to myself, oh, I'm not even going to get past my personal best of 3:27. I'm not even going to get, I'm going to probably run a 3:30. It's not even, you know, it's not even that good. And then I looked at my dad sent me a text during the race. He said, Chris, you're on track for a PB. And it was like mile 18 or 19, mile 19. It was mile 19. And my dad sent me a text saying, Chris, you're on track. And I was like, holy fuck, he's right. Oh my God. Because that mental wall I'm talking about here, it's like, it's so hard to get past sometimes, but all you need is a little sprinkling of just, here we go. That's what you need, that level of, okay, let's grind. And I remember taking a sip of Lucozade from the event at mile 20 or mile 20. And that's why my pace got faster. I was like, oh, who's going to carry the fucking boats? I was like,
you! Who's going to carry the boats in the logs?
That's you, buddy.
Goggins' music kicked in. I remember just thinking to myself, this is it. This is that moment. And I don't think I would be as fast or as have this level of endurance for pain tolerance had I not mixed in running and weightlifting. Training 5 times a week for weightlifting and then running 3 times a week is just, I don't know. I've talked about this in previous podcasts. I've even, one of my other podcasts of running and weightlifting is OP. It's so true. The combination of the two just, they go hand in hand there because they're so opposite to one another. Now, granted, you're never going to be the strongest or the fastest of either, but you're going to feel amazing and you're going to get faster and you are going to get stronger and you're going to feel within yourself the highest level version of who you are. Now, that may sound like mumbo fucking jumbo, but it really is just a great feeling knowing that you, number one, you're better than who you were yesterday. You know, this feeling of, wow. Look at this guy, back in 2018, skinny, fat, barely could do any push-ups and sit-ups to this day where I make pull-ups look easy and where I make running look easy. I remember finishing the race and like people around me saying, you look like you have any, like, you look like it was easy. I was like, dude, like, you have no idea the mental games I was playing. You have no idea the grind, the years of training. My mum was telling me afterwards that she saw a gentleman collapsed basically at mile 25. And I thought to myself, you were at the last, you had a mile to go. And that's when you collapsed. I'm like, it can happen to anyone. It's heartbreaking to watch. I've seen people stop because the hamstring's just gone. That's the worst because you can finish the race, but you're going to be hobbling. And because that pain is, you're fucked. If your hamstring pops, that's it. It's basically game over. You're not getting a good time. You will fucking walk or hobble that last however many miles. And I saw it happen to somebody at mile 21 of this race. And that, 5 miles. 5 miles can feel like the world when, you know, you've just put, you know, your hamstring's just pinged off, basically. It's just, wow. It is an emotional roller coaster, and I love, I tell you what, you know, even though I've criticized social media, I love seeing the amount of people getting into running at the moment. I love it because it is just a new generation of people willing to push themselves a little bit further, you know? And if I get to watch that or be a part of that after, you know, starting and grinding and watching myself get better and hoping that other people also have that journey and watching them get better, that is just priceless. Because you hope for people that they have that same mindset, that they have that ability to say, I'll never give up, I'll never give in, I will get this done no matter what. And I also see the other side where people are taking the piss, like, when you get to your late 20s or early 30s, you find a fucking hobby like running or reading, beep, beep, beep. And that's just people hating because they're just boring. They're boring people with nothing, and they'll probably be the type of person who goes to the pub on a Friday night and starts saying, look at those silly people running. And you'll just look at them and just think, you're a disgusting human being, and I'd rather run than look at like you.
And I hate myself.
I hate you too. You make me sick, you fat sack of crap.
Oh, dear. Hate responding with hate right there. Terrible. Fire with fire. But I am going on here. I am rambling. Key points from the London Marathon here is, number one, I think even though I had to go to the loo twice, I really did get the nutrition right. I had a high carb meal in the evening beforehand, which was pasta carbonara, which was amazing. Garlic bread with it. Mwah. Magnifique. And in the morning I had banana and oats, and it was just enough to keep me just at the level, because in Brighton I ate way too much. I feel like I'd overdone it, and it was really good system this year. I didn't feel too much, and that's why the first 11 to 15 miles just felt flawless. Now, granted, having to go to the loo at mile 11, that's annoying, and same again at mile 15 or 16, but you have to do what you have to do. I'm not going to do a Paula Radcliffe. I'm not doing that. You go to the loo and you do what you have to do. Nutrition as well. And I must say as well, water, I'd got that right as well. Didn't need to pee too much. Only had to go to the loo once before the race. Perfect. That's, you know, for number one, brilliant. What would I improve apart from maybe trying to go to the loo again before the race? There's not a lot. because there's things you can control and there's things you can't control, and you have to eat a certain amount and you have to drink a certain amount. Next time I'm not bringing chewable electrolyte gummies with me, because they made me feel sick later on in the race. So fruit pastels, yes. Chewable electrolyte gummies, no. So I need to come up with some way of maybe bringing back the electrolyte pills that I had from Brighton, but I don't know. It's very difficult. Maybe just going pure liquid. Again, that's really difficult. I fucking hate gels as well. Gels are just disgusting. They are not the one. But apart from that, just I really enjoyed the moment. You know, it's very difficult to get that across to people. You know, enjoying the moment is very much. You could easily let it go by, but I've got so many amazing photos, so many amazing moments, and I think the best way for me to end this podcast, apart from saying, I really hope you, if you are listening at this point, find the joy in something in life that I found, as I found running and weightlifting. I say running and weightlifting. I should probably say bodybuilding, very difficult thing, but anyway. Running for me will always be the key factor. It will always be something that brings me some level of joy, because I see the pride in my parents' faces afterwards, the hugs, the sweaty hugs, I should say, the amazing cheers from my family, the celebrations, you know, just it makes me think of all the moments where you feel like giving up. Worth everything, because you look at them and the level that you've where you've come from to the level you are now, and I'll never stop, because that to me has made every second worth it. And it's crazy to think as well that people, once they've run the marathon, they never run again. Like, I can't ever imagine that. I can't imagine why people would give up afterwards. I think it's just such an addictive thing. I mean, I've been doing it for so long now. It's a part of me. And as Goggins says, when he talked about doing the pull-up challenge and then doing pull-ups after completing the challenge, he said, it's a part of me. It's a part of me. And once something's a part of you, you find joy in it, and the pain's no longer even a factor, because the joy is so overwhelming compared to the pain. It's hard to comprehend. So, I hope you, the listener, you, the viewer, find something in life that brings you as much joy as it brought me. And that this final feat of pain and suffering and pure grit is a representation of what can be accomplished over a long feat of time. And that just doing something and thinking you're going to get it immediately, that immediate gratification, is wrong. You should be going long term. You should be thinking, what if it truly means something to you? You'll be willing to wait for it, and you'll be willing to sacrifice for it, and you'll be willing to allow time to go by and other people to achieve it around you, but you'll take it as a center of strength for yourself, knowing that one day you'll achieve it. And by doing so, you have achieved something that the Stoics, you know, self-preservation. Leaving it on a high, go get some! This has been a Taylor's Tales podcast. This has been Chris's Corner. I've been your host, Chris Taylor. And as always, I hope to see you this time next week. Bye now.
Yappa, 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 yappa.